looked up, seeing Will carrying the duffel bag into a house, followed by Damon and Kai. There was no door. I stuffed my hands into my middle pocket, stopping next to Michael, who simply stared at the crumbling structure. His hood was drawn, covering his hair, and only the small amount of light coming from the moon showed the red profile of the mask. Inside the house, I saw flickers of light. The boys must have flashlights. I clutched the small box in my pocket, hearing the wooden matchsticks inside jiggle. I'd forgotten I slipped them in there the last time I wore the sweatshirt. Michael turned his head and looked down at me, his eyes nearly black voids that I could barely make out. My heart caught in my throat, and I felt like I'd been flipped upside down. That damn mask! He reached into my sweatshirt pocket, and I pulled my hands out, wondering what he was doing. He took out the matchbox and held it in his palm.
"Why do you have these?" he asked.
He must have heard them shake in my pocket, too. I shrugged, taking the matchbox back. My dad collected matchboxes from restaurants and hotels when he went on business trips, I told him, sliding open the box and bringing it up to my nose. I took a liking to the smell. It's like... Without thinking, I closed my eyes and inhaled through my nose, the sulfur and phosphorus instantly making me smile.
Like what?
I closed the box and looked up, feeling lighter for some reason. Like Christmas morning and sparklers rolled into one. I kept the collection close to me after he died. I kept all of the little matchboxes in an old cigar box, but I started carrying one with me after he died. I stuffed the box into my pocket again, realizing I'd never told anyone that before. I peered up at him, narrowing my eyes. "Why did you bring me along tonight?" He faced forward, staring at the house again.
"Because I meant what I said in the catacombs today."
"That's not what it sounded like at the dinner table," I argued. "I've known you my entire life, and you act like you barely know my name. What is it with you and Trevor, and why do I get the feeling that..." He stared ahead, unmoving.
"That what?"
I dropped my eyes, thinking that it has something to do with me. Michael finally took notice of me today. He'd told me things that I'd only ever dreamed of hearing, and he put into words everything I was feeling. And then at dinner with Trevor, he'd shut down again, just like the old Michael. I wasn't even in the room to him. Did I have something to do with why he and Trevor never got along? But then I shook my head. No, that would be ridiculous. I wasn't that important to Michael. His and Trevor's issues stemmed from something else. He remained silent, not answering, and my cheeks heated with embarrassment. I shouldn't have said that. God, I was a stupid kid. I didn't wait for him to answer or continue to ignore me. Climbing the small incline into the yard, I stepped onto the porch, hearing it whine like a dying animal under our weight as Michael fell in behind me. Hurrying into the house, I spotted the boys flashing their lights around and exploring the various rooms. A ripe, pungent scent hit my nose, and I winced as I looked around and took in the old house. The place was uninhabitable. Old furniture, stained and ripped, was strewn about, while piles of wooden debris, looking like it had once been chairs and other furniture, sat in corners, probably waiting to be used as firewood. All the windows I could see were broken, and I dropped my eyes, seeing garbage and puddles on the floor among small glass vials, pipes, and needles. I twisted up my lips, hating this place already. Why would Michael want to come here? I couldn't deny that dark and dangerous held a lot of allure, but old, filthy mattresses on the floor, stained with fuck knows what, and dirty needles strewn about? This place was ugly. I didn't want to be here. I cocked my head, peering in front of me and seeing an open door ahead. When one of the guy's flashlights danced across the room, I vaguely made out spray paint on a white wall inside the door. It looked like the entry to a basement. I definitely didn't want to go down there either. But then I lurched forward, a body passing mine, shoving my shoulder.
"You shouldn't be here," Will warned,
walking past and looking over his shoulder at me.
"This house isn't safe. A girl got violated here a few months ago. Raped,
Damon taunted, whipping around to stand in front of me and getting in my face. I immediately reared back.
She was drugged and taken downstairs.
He jerked his head behind him, gesturing to the basement, with thrill in his eyes. My breath shook as I swallowed the lump in my throat. A girl got attacked here? I pinched my eyebrows together, fear speeding up my breathing.
Yeah,
I heard Kai's voice at my back.
She was tied up, stripped naked. Can't tell you how many guys went at her. They were lining up for their turns.
I spun around, backing up in the other direction as Kai inched toward me with a look in his eyes. But then I ran into another body at my back and stopped. This time it was Will. His green eyes heated as he cocked his head down at me like a challenge. What the hell were they doing? I whipped my head around, seeing Damon close in too, his black eyes looking like a void in the darkness of his mask. Kai looked up, asking Will in a light voice,
I don't even think they caught them all, did they?
No,
Will said playfully.
I think there's still a few running around loose. Like four.
I heard Michael's threat, and I jerked my head, widening my eyes as he closed in on my side, completing the cage. Shit. My lungs emptied, my heart jackhammered in my chest, and I caught sight of the dirty mattress sitting on the floor. Bile rose in my throat. But then all of a sudden laughter broke out, and I jerked my eyes up, seeing their bodies shaking with amusement as they backed away from me.
It's just a crack house, Rika, Michael assured. Not a rape site. Relax.
They were kidding? I crossed my arms over my chest, scowling. Assholes! My stomach was tight with knots, and I inhaled a few deep breaths to get my nerves under control. I watched as they all squeezed kerosene on the walls, floors, and around the debris. And even though it didn't take a genius to guess what they were doing, I kept my concerns quiet. I wasn't sure if I was having fun yet, but I didn't want to argue or try to stop them and lose the foot in the door I'd somehow gained. Not yet, anyway.
Fire up, Michael called out. Time to clean out the garbage.
They all came to stand next to me, all of us facing into the house, and I watched as they lit matches, the glow of the small fires lighting up their masks. Michael's hazel eyes flickered in the light, and my heart skipped. Digging into my middle pocket, I pulled out my matchbox and lit a match, the burst of flame consuming the tip. I smiled to myself, looking around at all the shit on the floor and thinking about all the bad stuff that had probably happened in this house. Given the amount of drug debris laying around, I guessed violence had come with it, too. People had probably been abused here. Maybe even children. I turned my head right, seeing Michael watching me. Looking to my left, I saw Kai and Damon staring at me as well. Will held up a cell phone, clearly recording what was about to happen. I stared ahead, knowing what they were waiting for. I tossed the match, the small ember bursting into a 4-foot flame against the wall, and I let out a breath, feeling the heat against my body. All of the guys then tossed their matches, the small house turning into an inferno of yellow and red. Heat flooded my veins, and I smiled.
Woohoo!
Will praised in a low howl, filming every inch of the living room going up in flames. Slowly, we all turned and walked out of the house, Damon carrying the duffel that Will had carried in, his hands too busy recording the spectacle now. Should he be doing that? You didn't really want evidence floating about when you broke the law, after all.
Make the call.
I looked up to see Michael tossing Kai a phone as we all pounded down the stairs. Kai took the phone and walked off, while I quickly glanced around, keeping my head down to make sure there were no witnesses. The neighborhood still looked dead. I watched Kai as he walked about 20 feet away and lifted up his mask, talking into the phone.
Do you know what you're doing yet?
Michael asked Will. He turned off the phone, stopping the recording, and stuck it in his pocket.
Not yet,
he answered as Damon walked past him and stuffed the duffel into the back of Michael's car.
All right, we'll do Kai, then Damon,
Michael told him.
Figure it out by then.
Figure it out? And then it hit me. Kai, Damon, then Will. Which meant Michael was done. I turned, staring up at the house, the flames already visible through the second-floor windows. "So each of you pull a prank on Devil's Night, and this was yours," I stated, finally figuring out what he was talking about. "Why?" His eyes locked with mine through his mask, and I wondered why he never took it off. The others had peeled theirs away now that the stunt was done.
"I don't like drugs or drug houses," he admitted. "Drugs are a crutch for people too ignorant to self-destruct on their own."
I pinched my eyebrows together. "What do you mean? Why would anyone want to self-destruct in the first place?" He held my gaze, and I thought he was going to answer the question, but then he walked around me toward the car. I shook my head, disappointed that I didn't seem to understand what he was trying to say.
"Let's go," he bellowed, and everyone piled back into the car.
I spared one last glance at the house, seeing it light up the night sky, and I smiled, hoping Kai had been on the phone calling the fire department. He climbed in the driver's seat, and I opened the door behind him, ready to climb in my seat. But I was yanked back, and the door whipped close right in front of my face. My breath caught in my throat, and the next thing I knew, my back was slamming into the car.
"Why did he bring you along?"
Damon scowled down at me, and I searched his face, confusion racking my brain. "What?" I gasped out.
"And why did he take you into the catacombs today?"
What was his problem? "Why don't you ask him?" I threw back. "Maybe he's bored." His eyelids thinned, glaring at me.
"What did you two talk about today?"
"What the hell? Do you interrogate every person Michael talks to?" I charged. He shot into my face, growling out his whisper.
"I've never seen him give a handheld tour of a fuck party before. Or bring someone along on Devil's Night. This is ours. So why are you here?"
I remained silent, gluing my teeth together. I had no idea what to say or even think. I was under the impression Damon, Will, and Kai were on board with this when Michael picked me up earlier. Were Will and Kai angry as well?
"Don't think you're special," he sneered. "Lots of women get him. No one keeps him."
I held his eyes, making sure not to let him see me falter.
"Rika," Michael called. "Get over here."
Damon kept his eyes locked on me for another moment and then backed away, letting me leave. I sucked in a breath, realizing my heart was pounding like a bass drum. I dived around the back of the car to meet Michael on the passenger side. He opened the door and climbed in, tossing his mask to Will and then turning his eyes on me. He wasn't driving?
"Come here."
He held out his hand. I inched closer and then gasped as he pulled me into the car, onto his lap, draping my legs across his. "What?" I hooked a quick arm around his neck for support, my ass planted on his thighs. "What are you doing?" I asked, shocked.
"We need the room in the back," he said, pulling the door closed.
"Why?" He let out an aggravated sigh.
"Your fucking mouth never stops, does it?"
I heard Kai snort, and I shot my eyes up, seeing him grinning as he turned the ignition. Why had they switched seats? I could just as easily have sat in Kai's lap. Not that I was complaining. I let Michael pull me in, my back against his chest, and I blinked long and slow, soaking up whatever was rushing underneath my skin. His hand rested on my thigh while his other texted on his phone, his thumb jutting out a mile a minute.
"Let's go," he told Kai. "Hurry up."
My jaw ached with a smile as Kai took off. I didn't know what the hell was next, but all of a sudden, I was having a lot of fun. Chapter 9. Erica. Present. Anthropology of Youth Culture. I walked into my first class of this course, already jaded that I'd set myself up for failure. Either I'd relate to it too much or not enough. Sure, I'd seen plenty of youth culture in my short years, the horsemen in high school and the hierarchy they dictated, the mob mentality of the hazing events on the basketball team, and whatever went on down in the catacombs. The way the guys schemed as much as the girls, and the way we'd all been mirrors of our parents in some way. the few leaders and the many followers, and the only way you could be strong was if you weren't alone. And then there was Devil's Night, the way much of our town looked the other way and let the youths have that one evening of mischief. Youth culture in Thunder Bay was a snake pit. Tread lightly with no sudden movements or someone would strike. Unless you were one of the horsemen, of course. But that didn't mean I really knew anything of youth culture either. My hometown population was largely wealthy and well-connected. That wasn't the average. How much of a threat would you be without money, connections, and daddy? Was the playing field more level without those perks? That's what I was trying to find out. Without my family name and their money, without my connections and their protection, what was I capable of? That's why I'd left Brown and Trevor and the culture I'd grown accustomed to find out if I was a follower or a leader. And I doubted I'd stop until I'd proven it was the latter. I walked down the carpeted stairs into the auditorium, scanning the tan seats for a place to sit, which was difficult. The classroom was built for at least 100 students in staggered seating, like that of a movie theater, and it was packed. When I'd registered for this class, I was told it was only offered once every 2 years, so it looked like a lot of people scooped it up when they could. My eyes fell on a few empty seats scattered about, and then I stopped, seeing a brunette with long, silky hair, dressed in a thin beige cardigan. Stepping further down the steps, I glanced at her profile and stopped, recognizing her. I hesitated, clutching the strap to my messenger bag. I didn't particularly want to sit with her, but I looked around, seeing places filling up, and there were a few empty spots in her row, so I didn't have to be right next to her, I guess. I walked down the row, sliding past the legs of the other students, and slid into a chair, keeping an empty space between me and the guy to my right, and also between me and the brunette on my left. She glanced over and offered a small smile. I smiled back. "Hey, you were with Michael the other night, right?" I broached. "At the elevator? We didn't get a chance to meet." I held out my hand, and she narrowed her eyes, looking confused. But then she relaxed, nodding and taking my hand. "Oh, that's right, the younger brother's girlfriend." I breathed out a laugh, not bothering to correct her. She didn't need my life history. "Rika," I told her. "Actually, it's Erica, but everyone calls me Rika." "Rika?" she repeated, shaking my hand. "Hey, I'm Alex Palmer." I nodded, releasing her hand and facing the front of the class again. Professor Kane walked in with his graying hair, brown suit, and glasses, and immediately began unpacking his bag, taking out papers, and setting up his projector. I dropped my bag on the floor, digging out my iPad and propping it up so I could lay out the keyboard to take notes. I tried to keep my eyes forward, but I couldn't help but take Alex in out of the corner of my eye. She was really beautiful. Her green eyes were exotic and piercing, and she wore skinny jeans and a tank top under her open cardigan. Her body was flawless, sexy, and her tan skin glowed. I pushed my hair behind my ear, looking down at my own clothes. Black leggings with knee-high brown leather boots, and an oversized white shirt with a burgundy scarf loosely tied around my neck. I let out a breath. It didn't matter. Even if I had dressed sexier, I still wouldn't look like her.
"Move,"
a deep voice ordered. I snapped my head up, my chest immediately caving, seeing Damon Torrance standing over me. "What the hell?" He glared down at Alex, his black hair gelled and his t-shirt just as dark as his hair and eyes. I heard her shuffle, and I twisted my head, seeing her pick up her things and move a few chairs down. My mouth hung open, and I narrowed my eyes. "What are you doing?" I demanded. But he ignored me, brushing my legs as he pushed past me and sat down on my left, in Alex's seat.
"Hey, Rika,"
another voice called, and I turned back to my right, seeing Will Grayson take the empty seat on my other side.
"How've you been?"
Both settled back in their chairs, and I felt them like walls at my side. I hadn't spoken to them in 3 years, and I stared ahead, not knowing what the fuck was going on right now. Deja vu. They were here. They knew I was here. The hair on my arms stood on end, and it was like no time had passed. 3 years ago was today. I squeezed my fists, noticing the professor coming to stand in front of the class.
"Hello, everyone," he greeted, threading his tie through his fingers. "Welcome to Anthropology and Youth Culture. I am Professor Kane, and..."
I shifted my eyes, the professor's voice trailing off as I felt Damon's arm lay across the back of my seat. Kane continued to speak, but Dredd sat like a brick in my stomach. "What are you guys doing?" I asked them, keeping my voice low. "Why are you here?"
"Going to class," Will chirped.
"You go to school here?" I asked, staring at him disbelievingly, before turning to Damon. His eyes, so cold but so hot at the same time, were on me, as if the teacher in class weren't even here.
"Well, we did kind of lose time," Will mused, keeping his voice low. "I must say I was a little heartbroken not getting a letter from you the entire time we were away. But last night we were free. We all had a lot of fun, didn't we?"
"No. No, we didn't have a lot of fun." I breathed hard through my nose and hurriedly folded down my iPad and reached over for my bag, getting ready to leave. But Will grabbed my wrist, pulling me back up.
"Stay," he suggested in a light tone, but I could tell it was a command. "We could use a friend in class."
I yanked my wrist away, the skin burning where he'd gripped it. I pushed my desktop to the side, grabbed my shit, and shot out of my chair. But then Damon grabbed the back of my shirt, and my heart skipped a beat as he pulled my ass back down into the seat, whispering,
"Get up again, and I'll kill your mother."
I rounded my eyes, my breath turning shallow as fear scorched my skin. "What?" A guy in the row in front of us turned his head, probably having caught that, and pinched his eyebrows together in worry.
"What the fuck are you looking at?"
Damon scowled. The guy's expression turned scared, and he quickly twisted back around. "Oh my God." I dropped my stuff and just sat there, trying to figure out what to do. Was he joking? Why would he say something like that? But then I stilled, remembering that my mother wasn't home. She was away. I'd tried calling her several times this past weekend, but then a couple of days ago, I finally got a text from her saying she was joining Mrs. Christ on their yacht for a cruise for the next month. She was on her way to Europe right now, and our housekeeper took the opportunity to go visit family out of town. The house was completely empty. I let out a small breath of relief, relaxing. He couldn't get his hands on her even if he wanted to. Not right now, anyway. He was just fucking with me. His arm snaked around my neck again and pulled me back into my seat. I stiffened as he brought me in close.
"You were never part of our group."
His angry whisper fell on my ear.
"You were just pussy being groomed."
And then his other hand slid to the inside of my thigh, squeezing it. I whimpered in shock and grabbed his hand, ripping it off me. He reached for me again, but I bared my teeth, slapping him away.
"What the hell is going on back there?"
I stopped, hearing the teacher's voice. Facing forward, I glared ahead, feeling eyes on us, but I refused to answer.
"Sorry, sir."
I saw Damon smooth down his black t-shirt as he slouched in his seat.
"Gave it to her nice and good this morning, but she still can't keep her hands off me."
Laughter broke out around the class, and I heard Will's quiet, self-satisfied chuckle next to me. Embarrassment warmed my face, but it was nothing to the anger building under my skin. What the hell did they want? This didn't make any sense. This was mine. This school, this class, this new chance to be happy? I'd be damned if I let them chase me off. The teacher shot us a look of annoyance and then went back to his lecture about technology and its impact on youth. Will and Damon settled back into their seats, keeping quiet. But I couldn't concentrate. I just needed to make it through class, I just needed to get out of here and get back to my apartment and... And what? Who would I complain to? Michael? Michael. He lived at Delcor, only one floor above me. The guys would be there. Frequently, probably. Shit. After years in jail, I would have thought they'd be long gone after that much loss of freedom. But here they were. I guess this was more fun for them. I dropped my gaze, seeing the tattoo scaling down Will's left arm. He hadn't had those when I last saw him. Giving Damon a sideways glance, I saw that his arms were still bare. I didn't know why I wondered if the guys had changed or not, but one thing was for sure. They were still very much the same. Minutes passed, and eventually Damon moved his arm around the back of my chair again. I remained frozen as I focused ahead and tried to listen to the lecture that was turning into more of a rant.
"The problem with your generation," the professor preached, sticking his hands into his pockets, "is a bloated sense of entitlement. You feel owed everything, and you want it now. Why suffer the sweet agony of watching a television series just to find out the big reveal you've waited years to discover, when you can just wait for the entire series to appear on Netflix and watch all 50 episodes in 3 days, right?"
"Exactly,"
a guy on the other side of the room blurted out.
"Work smarter, not harder."
Everyone laughed at the guy's dig. Bloated sense of entitlement? What?
"I've been dreaming about those lips," Damon said low in my ear, bringing me back.
"You know how to suck cock yet, Rika?"
I recoiled, my stomach rolling, but he pulled me back in. "He's just messing with you. Ignore it."
"But working hard builds character,"
the teacher continued to argue with the student.
"You aren't born with respect and reverence. You learn patience and value through struggle."
I forced myself to listen, but then my breath caught in my throat when Damon's hand gripped my hair at my scalp and held me tight and still.
"Because when I shove myself down your throat," he whispered over my cheek, "you better know how to take it and love it."
I jerked my head away from him, growling under my breath. Sick fuck. "Nothing worth having comes easy," a girl went on, backing up the professor's argument.
"Exactly,"
he agreed, pointing out his finger in excitement. Jesus. I rubbed my hands over my face, unable to keep up. There was something I wanted to say, but I couldn't remember what it was. Damn it, what was the professor talking about? I sighed and shook my head.
"Yes?"
I heard the professor call out. When no one said anything, and Will and Damon had gone still, I slowly raised my eyes, seeing Kane looking directly at me. "Me?" I asked. I hadn't said anything.
"You seem frustrated. Would you like to contribute to the discussion other than distract the class with your boyfriends?"
My heart sunk. Will laughed under his breath next to me, but Damon remained quiet on my other side. I could just imagine what everyone thought. I shifted my eyes from left to right, trying to recall what the hell the teacher had been talking about, and then I remembered the first point that had popped in my head before Damon first whispered in my ear. "You..." I took a deep breath and met the teacher's eyes. "You talked about an ungrateful generation whose lives revolve around the technologies yours gave us. I just don't..." I paused. "I just don't think that's a useful perspective."
"Clarify."
I straightened in my seat, sitting forward, away from Damon's touch. "Well, it's like taking your child to an auto lot to buy a car and being angry when they choose a car," I explained. "I don't think it's right to get aggravated with the public for utilizing conveniences that are made available to them." He talked about my generation's bloated sense of entitlement, but it went much deeper than that.
"But they don't fully appreciate the convenience of it in their lives," Professor Kane argued.
"Because it's not a convenience to them," I shot back, growing stronger. "It's their normal, because their frame of reference is different than yours was growing up. And we'll say it's a convenience when our children have things we didn't. But again, that won't be a convenience to them either. It will be their normal." Damon and Will remained unmoving at my side. "And furthermore," I went on, "this discussion isn't useful because it won't change anything. You're angry because your generation has given mine advances in technology and then blame us for the altered reality? Where's the accountability? Will breathed out a quiet laugh next to me, while the rest of the room, including Damon, sat silently, as if waiting for whatever was next. Professor Kane peered up at me, narrowing his eyes as the heavy silence wrapped around the room like a rubber band, making it smaller and smaller and smaller. I felt like everyone was looking at me. But as I waited for my skin to heat up with shame, it didn't. Instead, my skin buzzed with adrenaline, and I had to hold back a smile as I stared at the professor. This feels good. Maybe it was the bullshit with Damon and Will or the run-ins with Michael, but the end of my rope was in my hand, and I was grasping for threads. I just decided to let go. I didn't drop my eyes. I didn't blush. I didn't apologize. I owned it. Crossing my arms over my chest, I sat back.
She asked you a question, Damon spoke up, making Kane's face fall.
I blinked in surprise. What was he doing? But Kane didn't respond, merely straightened his back and walked back around his desk.
Let's think about that for next time, everyone, he called out, plastering a smile on his face for the class as he evaded the discussion.
And don't forget the reading assignment posted on my website. Have that ready for Wednesday.
The class began to rise, and I didn't hesitate. I grabbed my iPad, hurrying to make my escape, but Damon stopped me, getting in my face as he rose from his seat.
No one fucks with you but us, he warned with a sinister smile.
And I steeled my jaw, stuffing my belongings in my bag and shooting out of my chair. All that time away, everything they'd lost, and this is what they indulge in when they come back? Me? I slung my bag over my shoulder and glared at him. Your sense of humor sucks, I gritted out in an angry whisper. It's a little early for Devil's Night pranks. If you ever threaten my mother again, even if it's just joking, I'll call the police. I turned to leave, but he hooked the back of my neck, and I came crashing into his chest. I gasped, my breaths shaking as students continued to filter out, seeming oblivious to what was happening.
Who said I was kidding?
He whispered against my cheekbone. I felt a body press into my back, and I knew it was Will caging me in. I looked up at Damon, hardening my gaze. What do you want? I challenged. Huh? He licked his lips, and I felt Will's breath on my neck.
Whatever it is, he taunted. I think I'm getting it.
But I shook my head, feigning boredom. A child can pick the legs off a spider, I sneered. What else you got? His eyes narrowed on me.
You're going to be a lot of fun, Rika.
He released me, and I immediately shoved him away, turning and pushing past Will. Hurrying up the stairs, I brushed past the other students to get away and barged out the door and into the hallway. What the hell was going on? Will, Kai, and Damon were all out of jail, all in Meridian City, and Will and Damon, at least, were seeking me out. Why? Hadn't they done enough damage 3 years ago? Hadn't they learned their lesson then? They'd gotten what they deserved, and I couldn't say I was sorry. They'd fucked up, and they'd pissed me off, so any sympathy I mustered over the years for them was minimal. I just wished they'd quit while they were ahead. They thought I was an easy target, and they mistook my quietness for weakness, but I was no longer their toy. They needed to move on. I didn't have any more classes today, so I bolted from campus and rushed across the commons to my apartment a few blocks down the busy city street. Walking into Delcor, I spotted Alex, the girl from class and the other night, waiting at the elevator. Hey, she greeted, turning to me and pushing her sunglasses up to the top of her head. Are you okay? She must be asking because of Damon and Will. I smiled weakly, hooding my eyes. I think so. I used to go to school with them and be so curious about who they were. Now I just wish I was invisible to them again. I turned my eyes, seeing the blue lights of the elevator descending. Well, I don't know Damon and Will all that well, she stated, but I can promise you, you were never invisible to them. And I shot her a look, seeing her eyes scale down my body. She knew them? Well, I guess that made sense. If she was seeing Michael, she would have met his friends, I suppose. Which reminds me... Don't you take the other elevator to his penthouse? I asked her, pointing my thumb over my shoulder, indicating Michael's private entrance. Whose penthouse? She asked. Michael's. The elevator dinged and the doors opened. She stepped in and I followed behind, absently. Yes, but I'm not going there, she answered. I live on the 16th floor. And I watched as she pressed 16 and the doors slowly closed. She lived in the building. Oh, I responded. Well, I guess that makes it convenient to see him. I see lots of men. I raised my eyebrows. Okay, whatever that meant. I reached over and pushed 21, holding the strap of my bag at my shoulder as the elevator approached its first stop. Women, too, she added, sounding cocky. I stilled, feeling the heat of her stare on my neck. Do you like women? She asked matter-of-factly. My eyes rounded, and a laugh lodged in my throat. I choked out. Well, it's never really occurred to me. Damn, gotta hand it to her. She knew how to get my mind off the guys. She turned her head, looking at the elevator door and smirking. Let me know if it ever does. The doors opened and she stepped out, calling over her shoulder in a taunting voice. Hope to see you around, Rika. And she disappeared down the hall, the doors closing behind her. I shook my head, clearing it. What the hell was that? When the doors opened again, I stepped out, going straight for my apartment. Once inside, I locked the door and dug my phone out of my bag before tossing the satchel onto the sofa. No missed calls. I spoke to my mother every other day, and if she didn't have a signal, the yacht had a satellite phone. Why wasn't she calling me back? Damon's threat had me concerned now, and I wanted to make sure she was safe. Pithom, the Christ's motor yacht, was usually docked in Thunder Bay. They'd hosted many parties there growing up, but it was also perfectly capable of handling long ocean excursions. During the fall and winter months, Mr. and Mrs. Christ often took it to Southern Europe for their annual excursion, instead of traveling by plane. I guessed Mrs. Christ went ahead of her husband a little early this year and took my mother with her. I dialed her number, the line going straight to voicemail. Okay, Mom, I said, annoyance thick in my voice. It's been days. I've left messages, and you're making me worry now. If you were taking a trip, why didn't you call me? I hadn't meant to yell, but I was already frazzled. I pulled the phone away, hanging up. My mother was flighty and not at all self-sufficient, but she was always available to me. She was always in contact. Walking to the refrigerator, I dialed Mr. Christ's office and stuck the phone between my shoulder and my ear as I plucked out a Gatorade and twisted the top. Evans Christ's office, a woman greeted. Hi, Stella. I took a quick sip and replaced the cap. This is Erica Fane. Is Mr. Christ in? No, I'm sorry, Rika, she replied. He's already gone for the day. Would you like his cell number? I sighed, setting down my bottle. Stella had worked for the Christs and been Mr. Christ's personal secretary my entire life. I was used to dealing with her, since she also handled most of my family's finances for Mr. Christ. Until I graduated from college, anyway. No, I have his number, I told her. I just didn't want to bother him on his private time. Could you please ask him to call me at his convenience when you speak to him next? It's not an emergency, but it is kind of important. Of course, dear, she replied. Thank you. I hung up and grabbed my Gatorade, moving to the window to look out into the courtyard and the city beyond. The sun was starting to set, thin slices of it peeking through the skyscrapers as I took in the clear sky and purple hues in the distance. The lamps outside in the garden, sensing the disappearance of sunlight, suddenly lit up, and I raised my eyes, seeing the windows of Michael's penthouse. It was dark. I hadn't seen him in several days, not since the episode at Hunter Bailey, and I wondered if he was off training or out of town. The basketball season would be starting in the next couple of months, but it wasn't uncommon to have exhibition or pre-games before the regular schedule began. He'd be very busy, and most likely away a lot between November and March. I turned on some music, Silence by Delirium, and took off my scarf and kicked off my boots and socks as I spread out at the kitchen island with my laptop, working on the assignments I'd accumulated today. In addition to the anthropology class, I'd also started statistics as well as cognitive psychology today. I still had no idea what I wanted to do for a career, but since I'd already taken so many courses between Brown and Trinity that focused on psychology and sociology, I was pretty sure I'd declare my major soon. The only thing I knew for certain was that I liked learning about people, the way their brains worked, how much was chemical and how much was societal. And I wanted to understand why we did the things we did, why we made the decisions we made. After I'd finished reading, highlighting more lines than I hadn't, I worked on the statistics problems assigned and then made myself a chicken Caesar salad as I finished a few chapters for my history class tomorrow. By the time I was done, the sun had set, and I'd repacked my school bag for tomorrow's classes and hooked up my iPad to charge. Walking to the windows, I dialed my mother again and gazed outside, the city glittering with life. The call went immediately to voicemail again, and I clicked end, dialing Mrs. Christ right after. But she didn't answer either. I left a message asking her to call me and tossed the phone on a chair in defeat. Why couldn't I reach my mom? She'd called nearly every day when I was away at Brown last year. I glanced up, doing a double take and noticing Michael's apartment all lit up. He was home. I twisted my lips to the side, thinking. I couldn't reach Mrs. Christ, and her husband was a busy man. I hated bothering him or even dealing with him if I had to. Michael was slightly less frustrating, and he probably had the number to Python's satellite phone. Spinning around, I headed out the front door in my bare feet and took the elevator down to the lobby. I wasn't calling him. He'd just brush me off. I had a better chance if I asked him in person. Stepping out of the elevator, I spotted Richard, the doorman, standing outside, and I quickly glanced around, looking for a desk clerk. It was after hours, so the lobby rarely had an attendant, but I was sure I needed a keycard to get me into Michael's elevator. I jogged toward the front doors, ready to sweet-talk Richard into giving me access. But then an elevator dinged behind me, and I turned around, seeing two tall gentlemen stroll out of Michael's elevator. They were huge, at least 4 inches taller than him, and even he was big. They half laughed together and half played on their phones as they walked through the lobby, one of them giving me a smile as he passed. They had to be basketball players, probably teammates of Michael's. Shooting my gaze over the elevator, I saw that it was still open, and I didn't wait. I hurried over, dived inside, and pressed the button for the doors to close. I didn't even check to see if Richard had spotted me, too scared I'd look like I was doing something wrong. The doors closed, the elevator immediately began ascending, and I locked my hands behind my back, breaking out in a smile at the rush. It felt like forever, my stomach flipping and my heart racing, but when the elevator finally stopped, it was like no time at all. I was here. The doors opened and I raised my eyes, steeling myself. It was dim, like a cave. A gray wall sat just ahead, and despite the drumming in my chest, I stepped out onto the black hardwood floors and crept slowly to the left, the only way I could go. It smells like him. Spice and wood and leather, and something else that I could never pin down. Something that was just him. Slowly walking down the small hallway, I heard Godsmack's Inside Yourself echoing through the penthouse, and I stepped into a large living area, taking in the beauty and the darkness all around me. There were only dim lights on, and blue neon glowed from behind the blackboards mounted along the walls. The living room dipped, and he had a whole wall of windows, just like mine, but his was twice the length of my entire apartment. The thousands of lights of the city spread before me, and with the elevation, I could see more and more in the distance. It went on forever. Everything inside was black and gray, and everything shined. I walked into the living room, grazing my fingertips over a long black glass table he had sitting against a wall, feeling something tingle deep in my body. But I stopped, hearing the pounding of a basketball. The sound heated my blood, bringing back so many memories. Michael was always dribbling a ball growing up. You could hear it echoing throughout the house. I followed the sound as it led me to the railing off the side of the living room. Of course. A private indoor basketball court sat below in a sunken room, and while it wasn't as large as an average court or his court at home, I was sure it served its purpose anyway. There were two hoops, a pristine, shiny hardwood floor, and plenty of basketballs on racks. It was state-of-the-art, like everything else in the apartment, and I didn't know why I wouldn't think Michael would have a court in his apartment. When he wasn't playing basketball, he was almost always carrying one. Playing was the only time he ever really smiled. My eyes fell on him as he jogged and dribbled and then shot the ball, landing it right in the hoop. He wore long black mesh shorts and no shirt, sweat shining across his broad, toned chest and tight abs. And I watched as he spun around, grabbed another ball off the cart close by, and continued his drills. The muscles in his long back flexed, and I watched his arms tighten, every thick cord defined as he raised his arms again and shot the ball, sending it flying through the air. A ding went off behind me, and I tore my eyes away from him, casting a nervous glance over my shoulder as I remembered that I wasn't supposed to be here. Shit. I tensed my legs, ready to run, but it was too late. Kai, Will, and Damon strolled in, immediately slowing when they spotted me. Their eyes locked on mine, and my heart dived into my stomach.
"You okay, Rika?"
Kai asked, his gentle eyes from 3 years ago, now cold and hard. I swallowed. "I'm fine." But his lips tilted in a knowing way.
"You don't look fine."
He continued to approach me, and I watched as Damon and Will took seats on the couch, relaxing as they hooked their arms around the back. Damon blew out a cloud of smoke, and I recoiled into the railing, suddenly feeling caged. It had been so long since I'd seen them all together. I wanted to leave. For some reason, I thought they'd grow apart over the years, but here they were, together as if nothing had changed. All of them were dressed in black suits, looking like they were heading out for the night, and I tucked my hair behind my ear, trying to find my voice. "I'm just surprised, that's all," I told him, straightening against the railing. "It's been a long time." He nodded slowly.
"Yes, it's been a very long time since that night."
I blinked, trying to avert my eyes, but there was no point hiding my nervousness. He already knew I was uncomfortable. "I just needed to speak to Michael," I said quickly. He leaned into me, placing both hands on the railing at my sides, and called over my head,
"Michael, you've got a visitor."
His deep voice sent shivers over my skin. I didn't have to look behind me to know that Michael had seen me. I heard the basketball dribble to the ground, bouncing against the floor faster and faster, until it eventually came to rest, making no more noise. Kai brought his eyes back to me, his face an inch from mine as he looked down at me. "I wasn't aware you all were in Meridian City," I said, trying to lighten the tense mood.
"Well, as you can imagine," he said, pushing off the railing and joining his friends on the couches. "We didn't want a lot of attention or fanfare. We needed some privacy to ease back into things."
Seemed reasonable. The whole town lamented their arrest and incarceration, and despite the proof of what they'd done, no one really hated them for it. It wasn't long before their deeds were forgotten and they were sorely missed by almost everyone.
"Come on, sit down," Will pressed. "We're not going to hurt you."
Damon tipped his head back, blowing smoke as he let out a dark, quiet laugh, probably remembering his threats to me in the classroom today. "I'm fine," I asserted, crossing my arms over my chest.
"Are you sure?" An amused look crossed Will's face. "Because you're backing away from us."
My face fell, and I stopped, realizing I was indeed moving away from them. I'd been inching further down the railing toward the wall. Shit. Michael climbed the stairs from his basketball court, wiping off his face and chest with a towel. His hair glistened with sweat, and his stomach flexed with his movements. I tightened my arms across my chest.
"What do you want?" he bit out.
Guess his temper hadn't cooled from the argument at Hunter Bailey the other day. I took a deep breath. "I haven't heard from my mother, and I was wondering if you could give me the number to the satellite phone on board Python." Michael's chest still heaved from his workout, and he tossed the towel on a chair as he walked to the kitchen.
"They're in the middle of the ocean, Rika. Cut her a break."
He grabbed a bottle of water out of the refrigerator and tipped it up, gulping down the whole thing. "I wouldn't have bothered you unless I was worried." I shot a quick glare at Damon for planting the seed in my mind. If I can't reach her, that's one thing. But she hasn't called me, and that's unusual. Michael finished drinking his water and set the bottle down on the island, planting his hands on the countertop before him. Raising his head, he stared at me, narrowing his eyes as if thinking about something.
"Come to a party with us," he commanded.
I heard a breathy laugh behind me, and I pinched my eyebrows together in confusion. Was he playing with me? "No," I answered. "I'd like the number to the satellite phone." I heard shuffles behind me, and one by one, each of the guys came up to the island, positioning themselves around me and watching. Michael stood across from me, while Kai and Will leaned their forearms down on the counter to my left and right. I shot a sideways glance, seeing Damon with his arms crossed and leaning his shoulder against the wall between the living room and kitchen, staring at me. "They're just messing with you. That's what they do. They push, they intimidate, but they'd learned their lessons. They wouldn't cross the line."
"Come to the party," Kai chimed in, "and you can have the number."
I shook my head, letting out a bitter laugh. "Come to the party and I can have the number?" I repeated. "Yeah, this isn't Thunder Bay, and I'm not as easy to push around as I was then, okay?" And then I turned my eyes on Michael. "Screw you. I'll get the number from your father." I turned and stalked off, taking a left down the hallway toward the elevator. The doors opened as soon as I pushed the button, and I stepped inside, trying to calm my racing heart. They still intimidated me, and excited me, and challenged me, and knotted me up. I'd kind of wanted to go to a party, but not with them. The doors started closing, but just then a hand shot into the elevator, and I jumped, seeing the doors reopen. I sucked in a breath, staring wide-eyed as Michael reached in, grabbed my shirt by the collar with one hand, and pulled me out. "Michael!" I shouted. I stumbled into him, and before I knew what was happening, he grabbed my wrists and locked them behind my back, walking into me and forcing me backward, back down the hall toward the kitchen. "Let me go," I demanded, my lips brushing the tip of his chin.
"I don't know, guys," he teased over my head. "She still seems pretty fucking easy to push around. What do you think?"
Laughter greeted me as he forced me back into the living area. Every muscle in my body was on fire, and the tips of my toes kept getting caught under his sneakers. I twisted my body, trying to break his hold. "What the hell are you doing?" I pushed against his chest and jerked my body to the left, tearing out of his hold with every muscle I could muster. I stumbled, losing my balance, and fell backward, crashing to the floor. Pain shot through my ass, running down my legs as the fall knocked the wind out of me. Shit. Shooting my hands behind me, I pushed myself up and bent my knees, looking up at him as he advanced. He stalked over and then stopped, towering over me. I immediately moved my hands and feet, crawling backward, away from him. But then I felt something at my back and I halted. I twisted my head, seeing a dark pant leg, and I didn't know if it was Damon, Will, or Kai, but it didn't matter. I was closed in. Oh no. I slowly raised my eyes, seeing Michael's lips tilt in a devious smile. I stopped breathing, seeing him lower his body to the floor, planting his knees between my bent legs and his hands at my sides. My neck arched back as his face hovered over mine, but I tried to keep myself up as much as possible, no matter how close his body got.
"I thought you were one of us," he whispered,
his breath caressing my lips.
"I thought you could play."
I stilled, staring into his eyes.
"You're one of us now."
Will had said that to me on that night so long ago. Michael's amber eyes searched mine and then dropped to my mouth, his breathing growing heavy as he stared at me like he was about to take a bite. I wanted to cry. What the hell was going on? 3 years ago was nearly the happiest night of my life, and it quickly became the worst. And ever since then, Michael not only acted as if I didn't exist, but also at times as if he wished I didn't. Now the guys were free and they were all back together again. What did I have to do with any of this? What did he want with me? "I don't know this game," I told him, barely audible. He stared into my eyes, thinning his own as if studying me.
"All you need to know," he finally answered, "is that you can't tap out."
And he slid his body into mine, capturing my lips and rolling his hips into mine at the same time. I cried out, but it was lost in his mouth. Oh my God. Every nerve under my skin fired with electricity, and his cock rubbed hard between my thighs. I could feel how thick he was, and I couldn't keep my body from responding. I squeezed my eyes shut, feeling the little pulse in my clit throb as he grinded and teased me. His lips pressed down hard, eating me up, his teeth nibbling, biting, and taking. I breathed hard between kisses, relishing the feel of his tongue touching mine. Groaning, I steeled my arms behind him, staying up off the floor as I met his match and kissed him back, taking his bottom lip in my teeth and craving more. Michael grabbed my hair, pulling my neck back before he trailed kisses down my throat. I slowly opened my eyes and stilled. Kai was staring down at me with a smug look on his face. Dread crept in. How had I forgotten they were there? But before I could push Michael off me, he pulled his mouth away from my neck and hovered over me, blocking out Kai and everyone else.
"We're going to a pool party," he said, his voice that had been thick with lust just a moment ago now gone cold. "We're going to pick you up in 10 minutes, so have a swimsuit on."
My throat was dry, and I couldn't swallow.
"If you're not ready, we'll get you ready, even if it takes all four of us," he threatened. "And then, maybe, after the night is over, I'll feel like giving you the phone number."
He climbed off me and stood up, and I felt hands wrap around my arms and lift me off the ground. And then I winced, feeling a hand wrap around my neck and pull me back into a hard chest as a whisper hit my ear.
"You're a horny little bitch," Damon seethed. "You almost fucked him right here in front of us."
I ground my teeth together and glared ahead.
"The little fight you put up was cute, though," he said, sarcasm thick in his voice. "What else you got?"
And then he planted a hand on my back and shoved me forward, my feet stumbling to keep from falling. I sucked in breath after breath, my stomach shaking and my nerves shot. "What else you got?" He'd thrown my same words from today back at me. "Son of a..." I squared my shoulders and charged straight for the elevator, not looking back. Their game had changed. I didn't know why, and I didn't know what to do next, but I needed to think faster. A lot faster. Chapter 10. Erica. 3 years ago.
"How's she feeling up there, brother?"
Damon called from the back.
"She can come and sit with me if she wants."
I heard Will's breathy laugh and felt Michael's hand tighten on my waist as I sat on his lap. But he didn't respond. Michael wouldn't. From what I'd seen, he rarely indulged Damon's childish antics. Kai sped ahead with his chin tipped down, shooting me casual glances.
"I don't know. She looks pretty comfortable where she is," he told Damon.
and I just stared out the front windshield, half rolling my eyes at both of them. I didn't enjoy being the butt of a joke. I hadn't asked to sit here, after all. But I couldn't say I was itching to rush back to my own seat, either. Butterflies fluttered in my stomach, heat covered my neck, and I had no desire to ever be anywhere else. My heart pounding so hard it hurt. Every inch of my skin begged to feel his, and I wanted to turn around and straddle him and know what he felt like between my legs. Gripping the support handle on the side of the window, I relaxed into his chest, feeling it rise and fall behind me. He continued texting on his phone with his left hand, acting like I wasn't there, but the tension in his arm wrapped around my waist told me otherwise. I spotted Kai stealing a sideways glance at me, something unreadable in his eyes.
"Have you decided what you'd like to do?"
I twisted my head back, looking at Michael. "Me? What do you mean?" He finished his text, his eyes downcast at me and his warm breath falling on my face.
"You get to pull a prank, too."
Will came up from behind, peeking over Michael's seat.
"Think of the movie The Crow," he pointed out. "We could rob some stores, burn down the town, murder a young couple."
I pinched my eyebrows together, not finding that funny. Damon spoke up from the back.
"She's a fucking lightweight. I didn't come all the way back to town this weekend to egg cars."
Will hooded his eyes, smirking at me.
"That's so 2010. I'm sure she can come up with something better than that."
"I'm sure it won't be hard," I teased. "You haven't exactly set a high standard." And then I peered around at them, amusement pulling at my lips. Is this all the horsemen do on Devil's Night? Because I must say, you don't do the stories justice.
"Oh, she did not say that," Will howled, smiling.
Michael's sexy grin rose to the challenge.
"Well, well, well. It seems Erica Fane is unimpressed, gentlemen."
Damon remained quiet, but I saw a flicker from the back as he lit a cigarette, and Kai smiled, focusing on the road, but listening.
"You didn't like the fire?"
Michael nudged, mischief in his eyes. "It was cool," I shrugged, "but anyone could have done it. What was the point?" I remained nonchalant, enjoying taking part in a conversation, even if it was just teasing. Of course I wasn't trying to insult him. Michael's eyes thinned, regarding me.
"What was the point?"
he asked, but I could tell he was just thinking out loud.
"Hey,"
Michael called out.
"She wants to know what the point was."
I heard laughter and turned to Kai, who had his arm steel rod straight on the wheel as we sped down the road. He glanced at me, waggling his eyebrows, but then he jerked the wheel to the right, and I yelped as all of us jostled in our seats. I shot out my hands, holding the support bar with both of them as we swayed side to side, the car derailing onto a small, narrow gravel road. I opened my mouth to speak, but I didn't know what to say. What the hell was he doing? Before I knew it, he'd stopped the car, killed the engine, and turned off the headlights. The inside of the car fell completely silent. "What the hell?" I burst out. "What are you doing?"
"What are we doing?"
Michael corrected. Kai turned his head to me, pressing his finger to his lips. I was afraid to breathe. We sat there for several seconds, and I was so confused, but I didn't want to annoy them with more questions. What were we doing here, in the dark, hidden on a gravel road? And I still didn't understand why I was on Michael's lap. And then my ears perked up, hearing it. Sirens. Everyone in the car turned their heads to look out the back window, and within seconds, flashes of red, blue, and white flew past on the bit of highway we could still see. 2 fire trucks and 5 police cruisers. Will started laughing, his deep, boisterous bellow like it was Christmas morning. The vehicles passed by, continuing down the highway, and the forest turned dark and quiet again. I turned my eyes on Kai. "You called them? That's what you were doing on the phone." He grinned, nodding.
"Of course they think there's about 5 fires going on up there instead of just 1.
5? Why would he have lied when he called it in? Michael must have seen the puzzled look on my face.
We needed as many police out there as possible.
Why? But he just rolled his eyes at me, turning to Kai.
Sure.
Kai started the engine, and I grasped the support bar again as he backed out of the narrow inlet at top speed. I bounced around in Michael's lap until he wrapped his arm around my waist again, holding me still. Kai shot the car into first gear and laid on the gas, speeding down the dark road as Nonpoint's bullet with a name filled the car. He punched into third, fourth, and then fifth gear, and within seconds, I spotted four massive headlights ahead. I inched closer to the windshield, seeing that they were trucks. Two of them. Dump trucks. Will's excited noises sounded from the back, while Michael and Kai both put down their windows. I cast a nervous glance at Michael, and I couldn't explain what I saw in his eyes. Heat? Thrill? Anticipation? His gaze fell to my lips, and his grip tightened on my waist.
"Hold on," he said softly.
I tore my eyes away, gripping the support bar, as I watched the front of the car drift into the middle of the road. What was Kai doing? My breathing turned shallow, and I shot my eyes up, seeing the two trucks spread apart to the outside, driving half on the road and half on the shoulder. Their headlights shined brighter and brighter, and I breathed hard, seeing them get closer and closer. And then all of a sudden, I widened my eyes, feeling Michael's finger graze my stomach, back and forth, nice and slow. Oh, God. I couldn't help it. I arched my back, pressing my ass into him, and staring ahead at the trucks coming at us. I heard his groan, and then his phone hit my ankle where he dropped it. His hand left my stomach and came up to wrap around the front of my neck, pulling me back to him as his other hand gripped my waist.
"Knock that off," he whispered in my ear, sounding out of breath. "You're driving me crazy."
His hand tightened around my neck, and I dragged my bottom lip in between my teeth, feeling my pulse throb in my neck and hearing it in my ears. "Fuck," I squirmed despite his warning. The truck started honking and the lights flashed at us, and I whimpered, fear racing under my skin and my stomach, flipping again and again.
"Jesus,"
Michael whispered in my ear, slipping his hand under my sweatshirt to my stomach again.
"You're about to come, aren't you?"
He breathed hard in my ear, and I squeezed my eyes shut, lights flashing. And then my breath caught my throat, and the trucks blew past, horns honking and gusts of wind bursting through the open windows, blowing my hair.
"Fuck yeah!"
Will shouted, holding up the same phone from before and recording. Damon laughed, and Kai slowed the car. Michael released his grip on my neck, everyone spinning their heads around to peer out the back window. Kai stopped the car in the middle of the road, and I sucked in air, watching in confusion as the trucks both turned inward toward the road, stopping to face each other, grill to grill. The headlights went dead, and the next thing I knew, one guy was jumping out of each cab and racing for us on foot. The trucks were left blocking the road and the shoulders, leaving no room for anyone to get through. Ditches lined each shoulder, so driving off-road wasn't a possibility either, unless you had a pretty tough vehicle. The back doors opened, and two young men rushed inside Michael's car, laughing and gasping for breath.
"Son of a bitch, that was awesome!"
the brown-haired one chuckled, climbing into the back with Damon. Will slapped him on the back as he went, and then a blonde one climbed in, taking my old seat. He pushed his hair back off his forehead and tapped Kai on the shoulder, handing him two sets of keys.
"I set the alarm, so your uncle shouldn't know the trucks are missing until morning,"
he breathed out. I recognized both of the boys, Simon Ulrich and Brace Salinger, both basketball players at my school. So that's what Michael meant by needing the room and making me sit on his lap. We were picking up more people. I dropped my eyes, narrowing them as I thought about what Brace said. The trucks belonged to Kai's family. His uncle owned a construction company, and they'd taken the trucks and just planted them in the middle of the road. That was Kai's prank for the night. But I looked up at Michael, seeing his eyebrows raise in a challenge. "You're blocking the road," I stated, finally figuring it out, "so fire and police can't get back." The corners of his mouth lifted.
"Are you impressed yet?"
After dropping off Brace and Simon at a local diner, I moved back to my original seat, seeing no logical reason to stay in Michael's lap, even though the last thing I wanted to do was leave him. Unfortunately, I was more afraid he'd have to ask me to hop off, and then I'd be embarrassed that he was forced to ask. Michael took over driving again, and we cruised back through his and my neighborhood, parking alongside the dark, quiet road about a mile from my house. We sat outside a huge iron gate, and I gazed at the tall stone wall, knowing it was the mayor's house on the other side. Thunder Bay was a small community, maybe 20,000 people, not counting the students who commuted from surrounding areas to attend Thunder Bay Prep. Our mayor had held his position for a long time, and as rarely as things changed in our town, it made sense why. Damon left the car over half an hour ago, as we all sat there with the engine running and the heat on, and I was trying very hard not to ask questions. Like, why were we waiting here? What was he doing in there? And if it was something bad, should we just wait here like sitting ducks, knowing the police might already be on their way? Of course, several police officers were held up with the fire we'd distracted them with on the other side of town, but there were still a few left in the area.
"Here he comes."
Kai peered out Michael's window, and I followed his gaze, seeing Damon hop from a tree on the other side of the stone wall and immediately drop feet first to the ground. He pulled on his hood and jogged to the car, opening Will's side and laughing as he crawled over his friend's legs and fell into his seat in the back. His cold sweatshirt brushed my cheek, but instead of the cigarette smoke I usually smelled on him, it was a subtle perfume.
"How was she?" Will asked Damon over his shoulder. "Tasted better than a popsicle."
I twisted up my lips. "Really? We'd been waiting on him this whole time so he could get laid?" Over the years, I'd gauged that the guys definitely loved women, and they didn't hide it. Being who they were and wielding the power they did, it was never hard to find girls up for a good time. And although I hated to accidentally overhear their comments and discussions and the crude way they talked about various conquests, I also kind of envied their freedom to do as they pleased without judgment. Would they wait on me if I wanted to go get laid? Would they pat me on the back and ask me how it was? No, they wouldn't. They, or at least Will and Damon, would expect me to be a virgin, only to open my legs for them, and then not whine and cry when they never called me again. And unfortunately, Michael was very much like Damon. Never any girlfriends, never any commitment, and never any expectations. The only difference was Michael didn't talk about his dirty deeds. Damon made sure everyone knew.
"You guys could have come up," Damon suggested. "You like pussy, Rika?"
Anger heated my skin. I pulled my seatbelt back on, not looking at him as I answered. "I'd take one to bed before your dick." Will snorted, hunching over, and I heard Kai's quiet laugh in the passenger's seat in front. Michael made no move. But a chill fell on the right side of my face, and I knew Damon was glaring at me. "So who was it, then?" I asked, ignoring his temper.
"Mayor's wife," Will answered. "Trophy bitch, but oh so nice."
Jesus, an older, married woman? Damon had no limits.
"Actually, she wasn't home,"
Damon cut in. Will and I jerked our heads around, confused.
"So who were you with, then?"
Will shot out. Damon grinned and lifted two fingers to his nose, sniffing.
"I like virgins. So sweet."
Kai turned his head, scowling.
"You didn't,"
he growled, apparently knowing something I didn't.
Fuck off,
Damon bit out. I pinched my eyebrows together, looking around at the guys. Who are you talking about? Damon held up the same phone Will had recorded the fire on and tossed it to Will.
I got video,
he taunted.
You want to watch?
I straightened my back, turning back around. Fucking lowlife.
You really are fucking stupid,
Kai gritted out and faced forward. I stared at him in the front, wondering why he was so angry. Damon had pissed me off with his stupid remarks, but why was Kai annoyed with him? What could be worse than the wife of the mayor? And then my eyes rounded, finally realizing who they were talking about. The only other person that lived in the house besides the servants, Winter Ashby, the mayor's daughter. Shit, that was his prank? Screw the mayor's daughter? No wonder Kai was pissed. But before I could confirm that's who they were talking about, Damon took out his cigarettes and called up front.
Let's go eat, he suggested. I'm fucking hungry.
And Michael, who'd been silent the entire time, hesitated only a moment before shifting the SUV into gear and pulling back onto the road. Cranking up the radio to Jekyll and Hyde by Five Finger Death Punch, Michael took us back into town and parked right in front of Sticks, a favorite hangout, bar, and pool hall, frequented by nearly every kid in town up to the age of 21. They served alcohol, but unless you were of age or a star basketball player, you didn't get served. It didn't matter, though. The music was great, the atmosphere dark, and it was big enough to accommodate plenty of people. It was a place to be if you wanted action on a Friday or Saturday night. Every time I'd tried to join my friends, though, Trevor showed up and hovered, so I rarely came. We stepped out of the car, and I combed my fingers through my hair as I walked around the back of the SUV to meet everyone on the sidewalk. Damon flicked his cigarette into the street, and I crossed my arms over my chest, trying to keep warm.
Fucking Anderson, Kai said under his breath. I can't stand him.
I followed his gaze through the windows, immediately looking away again as soon as I saw who he was talking about. Miles Anderson. I stared at the ground, letting my hair fall over the side of my face, covering it. I couldn't stand him either. Uneasiness settled in my muscles until they were so tight and tense that I thought they would pop.
Asshole's been talking shit since we graduated,
Damon added. I could tell none of them really liked the new captain of Thunder Bay's basketball team. Miles had taken over after Michael graduated, and he enjoyed no longer living in his shadow. He resented the horseman's power, charisma, and reach, and after they'd left for college, he wasted no time in trying to claim what was once theirs. The only problem was he sucked as a captain. The team had a horrible year last year, and the more he failed, the more he pushed to prove what a man he was. I shivered, forcing thoughts of what happened last spring out of my head. He might be the only person worse than Damon. I eyed Michael, trying to hide my concern. We're not going in there, are we?
Why not?
I shrugged, looking away like it wasn't a big deal. I just don't want to.
Well, I'm hungry, Will chimed in, and there's tail in there, so let's go.
I stared down the sidewalk, blinking long and hard, in part for his crass remark, and in part because I refused to budge and didn't want to explain why. I had to endure Miles's presence at school, but I wouldn't on my free time. I felt Michael approach.
What's the matter with you?
His hard tone sounded impatient. Why wouldn't it be? He never coddled me. I looked up at him defiantly, shaking my head. I just don't want to go in. I'll wait for you guys out here. Damon shook his head, looking at Michael.
I told you,
he complained.
Fucking complicated.
I heaved an aggravated breath, staying frozen in my spot. I didn't care what Damon had to say about me. I cared more about not having to look at Miles fucking Anderson and him knowing he'd gotten away without a scratch. He always had that power over me now. But then I gasped, sucking in a breath as Michael grabbed my upper arm and force-walked me behind the SUV.
He threw me off, letting me go, and I backed